Go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at one verse here today as we ask the question, what is God saying? What is God saying? How many know that's a pretty powerful question as we enter into a brand new year? What is God saying to us as we come into this new year, 2016? Let me ask you a question. Does anybody know exactly what's going to happen in the next 12 months? Anybody know? Because if you do, I'd like to switch places with you. I want to sit there and I want you to explain to me what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but we certainly know that these are pretty amazing times that we live in. 2016 is an election year in the United States, and it seems as if there's a little bit of chaos. There's just kind of what in the world's going on? We really don't know. You have this growing threat of terrorism, this dangerous situation that seems to be growing in the world. You have economic uncertainty throughout most of the world, including the U.S. And then here in Indiana, you have the issue of granting extra rights to LGBT people, which is going to dramatically affect the church and our response. Matter of fact, this coming Tuesday is a day of prayer at the State House at noon. I would love for you to join me at the State House. Somebody say, Pastor, what are we going to do about all this? Well, how about let's pray? All right, let's ask God to bless and pour out His Spirit on that State House. Come on, am I in the right place today? Let's pray about it. Let's ask God. You know, so we don't know what's going to happen to us as individuals, as families, and as a church. And so since we don't know what's going to happen, the good news is God already knows what's going to happen in 2016. Matter of fact, He's already there. He's already aware of what's going to happen. And so our job is to say, God, what are you saying? Lord, what is your voice telling us to do? Because His voice is true. His voice is right. And if we follow Him, we're going to be okay. Somebody say amen. And so that's a powerful question for us to ask as a church. And then later on in the message, you've got a place in your message notes there. I want to give you time. We're going to worship. And I'm going to give you time to write down what God is saying to you individually about you, about your spiritual life, about your family, about the future. Whatever it is God speaks to you. I believe that today, God is going to speak to you. For some of you, He's just going to give you one word. Some of you, He's going to give you a verse of Scripture. Some of you, He's going to give you much more than that. But I want you to be ready to write down what God is speaking to you today, because how many know we need God's help in the new year? See, Pastor, how do you feel about the new year? I'm excited. I'm extremely excited about the new year and the good things that God is going to do through His church, because the Bible says where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. And so this is the best of times for the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's a great time to follow Jesus. So if you're not following Jesus with your whole heart, today's the day. This is the hour to serve the living God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Is anybody out here want to put your hands together and say, yes, Pastor, this is the right time, this is the hour, this is the day to give your heart to Jesus? Now, a few weeks ago, actually it was a couple months ago, I brought all of our pastoral staff together, and we do this every year, and we take a day away, and we ask this question, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to our church? And I asked them all to write down 3 to 5 topics or subjects or scriptures that they feel like we need to address or we need to focus on in the coming year. And so everybody takes their time to write down their 3 to 5 things. And what we do is we look on these lists and we say, what is most common in these lists? And we deduct from that, this is the voice of God to us collectively. This is what God is saying to us. Well, the one topic that was on everybody's list was prayer. And that's the first thing that God is saying to us as a church. It's prayer. That in 2016, we need to focus on prayer. You say, Pastor, I thought we focus on prayer all the time. Yeah, we do. But let's focus some more, right, on prayer. As a church, as a people, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be a house of prayer. Come on, somebody. And so today, we are beginning tomorrow, 21 days of fasting and prayer. And everybody's really excited about that, because you are so carved up from the last 5 weeks, you could go 3 days without eating and not even notice. Can I get a witness in the house of God? All right? And so this is something we do most every year here at our church. We come together for a time of corporate prayer and fasting. Now, the details of the fast are on the back of your notes. It's in the sermon bulletin. But there are a variety of ways for you to participate. And in your message notes, there is a card for you to mark down how you are going to participate in this time of fasting and prayer. Now, before you go ahead and say, I can't do that, I just want to remind you that in 18 years of doing this, we've not lost one person. There has not been one casualty. Now, collectively, we've lost thousands of pounds together. Can I get a witness in that? You know, so this is something that, you know, people still ask me, Pastor, what did God do at Grace? How did blah, blah, blah? And I say, you sure you want to know? Because a lot of people want what churches have. They just don't want to do what churches do. Right? It's prayer and fasting. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to join us. Everybody can participate. Say everybody. Everybody can participate. And again, all the details are there. I'm not going to take time to walk you through all of that. But my prayer is for 100% participation in this time of 21 days of prayer and fasting. The next 21 days are going to be 21 days of prayer every day in the worship center, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. We're going to have a time of worship, a time of individual prayer, and then a time of corporate prayer. 21 days in a row, Monday through Friday. Saturday is going to be at 9, and then Sunday morning in our services. How many understand what I'm talking about? And I just want to encourage you, as we give this year to prayer, we're going to believe that God is going to do great things. I had a conversation this past week with somebody who attends our church. We were at a basketball tournament together. We're talking about the election. We're talking about the future. You know, Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio and Donald Trump. And, you know, he's like, Pastor, what do you think's going to happen? I said, you know what? I have no idea what's going to happen. I said, but I've given up hope that an election is going to save us. I've given up hope that a man or a woman is the answer to our country. But I still believe if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the word of God still says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is our hope. Our hope is in prayer. And so that's what God is saying to us. The second thing that God is saying to us, and this was also on everybody's list at some level, and that is families. Families. Families are still the greatest need in our community. Homes, relationships, marriages, parenting. We live in a community of broken families. We live in a community where broken families are rampant. It really is an epidemic. And so as a church, God has called us to be a family training center. It's part of the vision statement of our church. But there is just this urgency in our spirit that we have to come alongside families and help them. We have to come alongside and mentor them. Marriages that are stressed out and in trouble, come alongside and pray for them and encourage them. Am I in the right church today? Teaching parents how to raise godly kids. That's what God has called the Church of Jesus Christ to do. Now, that's why in February, we're going to spend a whole month talking about families and relationships. And then we're bringing in a home run hitter, Mark Gunger, on this marriage retreat. I hope every married couple comes. And don't just come alone. Bring somebody with you. This is a perfect outreach opportunity to somebody you know whose marriage is struggling or whose home's in trouble. This is a great opportunity to reach out. We also get to host the regional name retreat in the fall. That's pretty awesome, too. And we're going to start a marriage and family class that's going to meet throughout the year. So I just want to encourage you. We're going to be doing those things. Now, here's another word that God keeps speaking to me, and that word is serving. What is God saying to us? That we need to serve. The body of Christ needs to take on the form of a servant. Now, we did a Bible study on the book of Daniel on those past few months on Wednesday nights, and we saw that the paradigm of ministry in Babylon is serving. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, we don't live in traditional America anymore. It's changed. And there's a growing hostility in our culture toward the church, toward Jesus, toward the Word of God, toward Christians. So what do we do in response? Do we fight? Do we yell? Do we scream? No, we do what Jesus did. We serve. We bless. And I believe that God is calling us as a church to be much more intentional about serving our community. So we're going to have a couple days throughout the year where we're just going to get out of the church and we're just going to serve. We're just going to bless. Somebody say amen if you think that's a good idea. Now let me just go ahead and tell you a little bit. This is in the works, so you can pray about this. We do an event every year, the Patriotic Celebration, Honor Our Heroes, right? And over the years, we've had thousands of people come, but this last year, we noticed that it wasn't as big as it used to be. And so I believe the Lord gave me an idea. And I said, what if we took Honor Our Heroes and we did the ceremony as part of the Greenwood Freedom Festival? There's only about 30,000 or 40,000 people there. And so I call up the fire chief. I said, Chief, I said, I got an idea. Because they love us. They really do. They love us. And they said to tell you thank you for the offering that they gave for their budget. We don't have time to talk about all the good things you guys do. It's pretty awesome. And I said, hey, here's the idea. What if instead of you guys coming to us, how about we go to you? And part of the Freedom Festival is us doing the ceremony there. He goes, Pastor, I think that's a great idea. And I can guarantee 100% participation. And he said, it's great, but you should talk to the mayor. I called the mayor. I said, Mayor, what do you think? I gave him the idea. He goes, well, I'll have to take it through legal, but that's a great idea. So would you pray about that? I think that's a tremendous opportunity that God has given to us to go to the city and say, hey, how can we help you honor people who deserve honor? Amen. Pray about that. Here's another word I believe God is speaking to us, and that word is deeper. Everybody say deeper. God is calling us, and there's an urgency in our hearts that we need to grow deeper. We need our roots, our spiritual roots, to be strong in the Lord and to grow strong in Jesus, have a deeper faith. Because let's be honest, a lot of believers in Jesus, their walk with God is pretty shallow. This is the part of the message where you tuck your toes underneath your chairs. Are you ready? We need to grow up. We need to get our thumb out of our mouth and start growing up in Jesus. Are you hearing me? That's why we've made a huge push for everybody to read the Bible, the one-year Bible, in 2016. How many of you have already finished the first couple days of that? You're already done it, all right? Praise God for you. It is not too late for you to join in. We're looking for 500 people to join us reading the Bible every day, one-year Bible through it. You say, why are we doing that? Because we got to grow strong in the Lord. We got to grow deeper in our faith in Jesus Christ so that we can thrive in these last days that we live instead of just holding on till Jesus comes. No, let's make a difference. Let's change the world. Let's take thousands of people with us. Let's grow in the faith, right? So God has called us deeper in prayer, deeper in the Word of God, deeper in the power of God. So I believe that's what God is calling us to do. And then one more word I believe that God is speaking to us about in 2016, and that's the word supernatural. I believe we're already seeing it, but I believe we will continue to see an increase in the supernatural, in the marketplace, where you live, where you work, where you play. I believe God is stirring up gifts in the body of Christ for the sake of those who need Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about gifts of miracles and gifts of healing and words of knowledge and words of, come on, somebody. I believe that God is calling us to be ready to step out and be the voice of God to a lost and broken generation and be ready to go to the woman at the well and read their mail so that they'll turn their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. I believe we ought to be ready and hungry to embrace the supernatural in our lives. We'll talk more about that as the year goes on and believe in God for it. So I'm gonna begin today by talking about prayer. So I'm gonna begin the next message series right now. Okay, so this is the official beginning. Are you ready? Right now, this is the beginning of the next message series. It's gonna be simply called Prayer Is. Prayer Is. Okay, fill in the blank. If I gave everybody 60 seconds to write in what is Prayer Is, you know, and take 60 seconds, maybe have one of those games. Write down as many things, any words that you can fill in. Some of you might put, you know, prayer is boring. Or prayer is hard. Or prayer is difficult. Or prayer is for spiritual experts. I don't know what you would fill in, but today and over the next couple Sundays, I want to talk to you about what prayer is, why it's important, and why we need to focus on it. And so, because I'm going to tell you that prayer is first, prayer is worship, prayer is prophecy, prayer is warfare, prayer is spiritual language. Are you ready for this? I'm excited. Here's the first one. Prayer is first. Write that down. Prayer is first. It's the first thing. See, Pastor, why are you taking the first Sunday of the year and focus on prayer? It's because it's the one thing that if we do well, will affect every other thing. If we do prayer well, it will affect every other part of our life. You say, Pastor, I wish you'd talk about my family. My family needs some help. Well, guess what? Prayer will affect that. Well, I wish you'd talk about finances and about money, you know. There's a Dave Ramsey class coming up. Information's in your bulletin. But you know, I wish you'd talk about that. Well, prayer will affect that too. Well, I'm dealing with some spiritual issues. I'm dealing with warfare. I'm dealing with this or that or the other. Come and tell you, prayer will affect that too. So prayer is first. Jesus said it, right? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Anybody remember what Jesus said? Seek. Say it with me. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Jesus said, seek me first. Pray first. And then all the other stuff, you won't have to worry about. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. He said, seek me first, put me first, and then all these other things are going to be added to you. Prayer is first, because prayer is the key to everything else. Am I in the right church today? Around here, we believe in the principle of first. We've talked about this over the years, right? The principle of first in the Bible. Why do we come to church on the first day of the week? Did you guys even know that Sunday is the first day of the week? Well, it's declaring that the next 6 days are covered by God, because we have declared that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives on the first day of the week, and that blesses, that sanctifies the rest. Well, come on, somebody. The first sanctifies the rest. And so I want to challenge you as you face 2016, let's make it a habit. Let's make it a discipline. Let's make it a priority. We're going to come to the house of God on the first day of the week and believe that God is going to bless the rest of the week. Come on, somebody. That's why we tithe. Right? When we tithe, it's not just about giving 10%, it's about the first 10%. It's not just about the amount that we give, it's the priority that we give. Come on, somebody. So when I give that first, I'm believing that God's going to bless the rest. Now, early last year, hundreds of you were impacted by the Blessed Life series that we did with Robert Morris. And hundreds of you took the 90-day tithing challenge, and a lot of you never stopped. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And can I tell you that so many people said God did wonderful things in our lives? God did wonderful things in our church. Why? Because we believe in the principle of first. So I wonder what would happen if prayer became first in our lives. Before we leave for work, pray first. Before your kids get on the bus, pray first. Before you walk into that meeting, pray first. Before you respond to that text message or email, you should probably pray first. Come on, somebody. Or a few times. Are you hearing me? It's about putting prayer first, putting God first. And the scripture says all these other things will be added to you as well. What would it look like if we put God on our schedule? Pull out my calendar. And I just pick a time, and I put God, or time with God, or prayer. Even if it's just 5 minutes, you put God on your schedule. Can I tell you what's going to happen? As we begin to do that, the other things will begin to fall in place as well. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. Now, if you've been to our growth track, you've been to the membership class, Grace 101, you've seen the vision statement of our church. It's on posters throughout the building. What's the very first vision statement of Grace Assembly of God? We want to be a house of prayer. That's who we are. That's what God has called us to be, because it affects everything else. And if we do that well, everything else will be blessed. So how many know prayer should be our first response, not our last resort? Part of growing up in the faith is recognizing that I need to stop praying fire escape prayers or 911 prayers. Instead of it being a last resort when I'm in trouble, how about making it your first priority before you get in trouble, and believe that God is going to lead you and guide you all the way through? Prayer is first. You know, you say, Pastor, this is so simple. I know. I'm known for my deep preaching. You know, I'm putting the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can have some. Even the two-year-olds, right? Listen, Jesus practiced this, didn't he? Jesus practiced by putting prayer first. Jesus had a place of prayer. He had a time of prayer. And he had a plan for prayer. And can I tell you that if we will do the same, we will begin to put prayer first in our lives, and it will have a dramatic effect in who we are, in our relationships, in our vocation, in our health. Are you hearing me today? If we'll do what Jesus did, have a place, have a time, and have a plan. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? The plan, what's the Lord's Prayer, right? He gave us a strategy to learn how to pray and how to do all of those things. So prayer is the main way that we experience deep change in our lives. Let me say that again. Prayer is the main way that we experience deep change in our lives. So if, at the beginning of the year, if you're saying, you know, I want to change this about me, I want to change this about my family, I want to change this about me, can I tell you that the ultimate way, the best way to see those changes take place is through prayer? I'm reading a book about prayer by Timothy Keller. And I pulled out a quote to show you here today, because it just helps us understand this priority of prayer in our lives. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. We must learn to pray. We have to. Prayer is the key to everything. So if we pray, God will bless the rest. Now, I want to encourage you, because these next 21 days are going to be 21 days of prayer. The goal is for them not to just have spiritual activity, but it's going to become a laboratory of learning how to pray. Because a lot of people don't know how to pray. And so as we come together, we're going to worship, we're going to pray together, we're going to pray individually over these next 21 days. You know what's going to happen at the end of those 21 days? Do you know how long it takes to develop a habit? Oh, 21 days. And as we do that, we're going to begin to develop the habit of prayer, and God's going to help us do that. Somebody say amen. God's calling us to prayer. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you sense the voice of God calling us to prayer? Did you know that one of the top movies of 2015 was a movie about prayer? Are you kidding me? Did you see The War Room? I found a clip of Miss Clara praying. I want to show it to you just to provoke you a little bit about the call to prayer. Watch this.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good, and you are mighty, and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
And the people of God said, amen. 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 If you will listen, you'll hear the voice of God calling you and me to prayer. Do you hear the voice of God calling the body of Christ to the war room, to fight, to believe, to ask, because the stakes are high, but the rewards are awesome? Well, Pastor, I hear God's voice, but I can't pray like that. You know, we'd all like to be Miss Clara and pray the wallpaper or peeling off the walls. I mean, man, I like to pray like that. And I realize that for some people, the challenge for prayer is that to you, prayer is hard, or prayer is confusing, or prayer is difficult. And can I tell you, it doesn't have to be. And let me show you just one more thing about prayer, and then we'll continue this next week. But prayer is worship. This is part of understanding the simplicity of prayer. Prayer is worship. What are you talking about? When I worship, I'm praying. And when I'm praying, I'm worshiping. Do you get that? And so you say, where's that in the Bible? Well, remember, Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So Jesus gave them a model for prayer. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer and we've prayed it, but I don't think Jesus was giving us words for mindless repetition. I believe he was giving us a pattern to know how to pray. And the very first part of prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples was, Our Father, who art in heaven, say it with me, hallowed be thy... What is Jesus saying? He said, you start with worship. You start with acknowledging who God is, praising God, acknowledging his name, blessing his name, Our Father, who art in heaven. You know, for many of us, when it comes to prayer, all we think about is my prayer list. Here's what I need, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we pray for the same things over and over again, and that can get kind of boring, I'm just being honest. But that's just a small part of prayer. Matter of fact, Jesus doesn't even get to my daily bread. Oh, by the way, the ushers are passing out the prayer first band. Thank you guys for being on the ball there. I missed that. But I'm going to ask you to wear this band for the next 21 days. It just simply says, pray first, okay? So you can take it off when you take a bath or whatever, but, you know, or not. But I'm asking you to wear this for the next 21 days as we make prayer first. Thanks, guys, for doing that. I want you to notice that in the Lord's Prayer, before give us this day our daily bread is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you see that? So one particular lady was listening to her pastor preach about this. And so she testified after the message from her pastor on the Lord's Prayer, when he noted that adoration and worship of God comes before give us this day our daily bread, the pastor exhorted everybody to spend time thanking and praising God for who he is before you go into your list of prayer needs. One woman in the congregation took this to heart, and a couple weeks later noted what a difference it had made in her life. She said, before, I would run right to my prayer list, and the more I went through all the problems and needs, the more anxious and burdened I would get. Now I've started spending time thinking about how good and wise he is, and how many prayers he's answered of mine in the past. And when I get to my own needs, now I find I can put them in his hands, and I feel the burden coming off me. Oh, that's good. Something wonderful happens when we worship. The Bible says it's the gateway to the presence of God. And when the presence of God is in your prayer time, all of a sudden it takes on life. Instead of it being hard and difficult or boring, all of a sudden it becomes this dynamic relationship of communication that takes place between the God who made me and his creation. Come on, somebody. See, when I worship, I'm praying. And when I'm praying, I'm worshiping. And as I worship, I walk into the presence of God. I'm not bringing God down to me. I'm stepping up to where God is and who he is. Worship is prayer. Prayer is worship. Can I tell you, this will change your prayer times. This will dynamically change. When we pray these next 21 days, we're going to start with worship every time. When you pray, wherever you're at, whatever your prayer time is and your prayer plan is, it should begin with thanksgiving or prayer. Some of you may just want to, let me give you a few tips of how to include worship as part of your prayer. Sing songs you know. You know, if we sing a song here at Grace and you like it, sing it. You know, when you're by yourself, that's called making a joyful noise, right? Some of you, we'd like to just, you know, hit Pandora on our phone or a CD or a worship or somebody in the background and just sing along with it. I'm telling you, it's powerful. Some people like to have that going the entire time. There's nothing wrong with that because worship is prayer. Prayer is worship. Because when I worship God, that's the doorway into a realm of prayer that God wants you and me to have. See, Pastor, I thought worship was just a set of songs that we sing on Sunday morning. No, 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 no. Worship is the beginning of a relationship with the God who loves you, the God who knows everything about you and your future, and it's the doorway to his presence and to his life, and it changes everything about us. I want you to stand here in this room because we're going to do just that. We're going to worship. We're far from done. So I don't want you to switch gears and say, oh, I'm getting ready to head out the door. No, 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 no. We're about to do what we just preached about. Let's worship. Let's honor God. Let's bless the Lord here in this place. Let's step into the presence of God. In this new year, let's step into a brand new realm of our relationship with God as we open our mouths and we bless the Lord together. Worship God.
I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name's grace and greatly to be praised. praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. And I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to
part of worship is thanksgiving. Would you take a few moments and thank God for every blessing for the past year? Would you take a few moments? Would you right now? God, I thank you for bringing me through. Come on, lift your voice. God, I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your provision. I thank you that I'm still here. I'm still breathing. I'm still walking. Still in the house of God. I thank you for that, Lord. I worship you in this place. And I bless your name. I honor you in this place, mighty God. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We praise your name. We worship your name. We magnify the name of the Lord. God, we acknowledge that every good thing we have comes from you. Every blessing that we have is from your hand. And we worship you. We bless you, God. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your name, mighty God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. So I give glory to your name. Oh, Lord, glory to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name.
Here's what I would like you to do, if you would. It's in this atmosphere of God's presence that we hear God's voice more clearly, right? Something has changed in this place. What's changed? The presence of God. How did that happen? It's because of worship. Prayer is worship. And so now that we have stepped into the presence of God, we are in a position to hear God's voice. So I'm going to ask you, the altar call today is this. Would you take a few moments and would you write down what God is saying to you, what God is speaking to you, and write it down. Again, it may be a word, it may be a scripture, it may be a sentence or two, I don't know, but would you give God a chance to speak to you and then write it down. So go ahead and have a seat, everybody. Pastor Steve's going to continue to play. We're going to continue to worship, but I want you to take a few moments here, and I want you to write down what God is saying. If you don't have a writing instrument, pull out your phone, open up a note or something. Don't be distracted by everything else, and just say, here's what I think God is saying to me on this first Sunday of 2016. Amen. can I encourage you to keep this on hand for these next 21 days? And I believe God is going to give you even more than you've written down so far. It'll be just the start. And the cool thing about this is this will become your prayer list. I'm going to share with you next week that prayer is prophecy. Show me your prayer list. I'll show you your future. Come on, somebody. All right? So keep this with you, or keep writing down. As God speaks to you, write it down, and we're going to believe that God is going to do good things. Now, one last thing I'd like to ask you to do in your message notes, there is a card of commitment for prayer and fasting. So I want to ask you to fill that out right now if you haven't done that yet. And I want you to mark after you write your name on the card. Anybody doesn't have a card that needs one? Anybody doesn't have a card that needs one? Everybody's clamoring to fast and pray. I know, I know. All right, praise God. I want you to write your name down, your email there. We're going to send out some prayer and some requests and testimonies via email. And I want you to write down the area of fasting that you'll be able to participate in. And again, let me strongly encourage you to give the complete fast a try. And I believe you'll be blessed. You can do it. And I believe that God will give you grace as you do it. We are not legalistic around here. There will be no fasting police following you around. Say, hey, that's not on the list. Nothing like that. You'll notice that it's a progressive fast to where the last week is water and juices. And again, there are hundreds and hundreds, probably 1,000 people or more that will testify that this is a good thing, that God works in this as we consecrate ourselves to fasting and prayer. And on the bottom of that card, there's also a place for you to mark if you're reading the one-year Bible. We'd love to have a list of those who are doing that as well to keep you encouraged. And then on the bottom, there's a place for you to write down your number one prayer request. So as we take this time of consecration, 21 days of prayer and fasting, we'd like to agree with you in prayer about that one thing that you are bringing before the Lord every day. You know, if it's direction about the future, if it's a miracle of some kind, what's going to happen is every day as we gather together, there will be opportunity for people to pray over those needs. And so I want you to write that down. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for every single one of them. People will be praying for them every single day. And so I want to encourage you to write down what that prayer request is. And we're going to believe that God is going to move. God is going to work. God is going to do good things as a result of that. Amen. Amen. And so would you stand one more time? And here's what I'd like us to do. I would like you to bring your card to the front here in just a moment. I'd like you to lay it on this platform or these build outs here. Just lay it there as a sign of consecration. And I want to pray a blessing on you as we dedicate these next 21 days to the Lord. So if everybody would stand and you wouldn't mind, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Steve's going to lead us in another song, but I want you to come and lay this card on the platform. And then if you wouldn't mind staying down here, I want to pray a blessing on you. So you have to lay your card and kind of get out of the way so that other people can do it as well. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. And then I want to pray for you and believe that God is going to give you the most significant year spiritually you've ever had. How many know that would be a good thing? Amen. Now, you say, Pastor, this is not going to be easy. No, it's never easy to sacrifice, but it's always good because we're doing it for the Lord to draw closer to God. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to bring those? So why don't you come and just lay them, even if you just have a prayer request, go ahead and bring that card and lay it down on these altars, and then we're going to pray together. Set a fire. There's a unity that takes place when we fast and pray. I can tell you, over the years, this is one of the most powerful times that when the church, vast majority of the church, comes together to fast and pray, there's a unity that puts us in position for miracles that's unlike anything else. I love this. Thank you so much for responding. So as a symbol of unity, would you join hands with somebody nearby you as a spiritual family? Lord God, we consecrate these next 21 days to you. We are putting you first. We are giving you the first part of this year. We're giving you the first part, God, because we believe you're going to sanctify the rest. You're going to bless the rest. And God, we trust you. We worship you. We honor you. Lord, would you help us? Would you speak to us? Would you give us courage? Would you give us strength, oh God, as individuals, as a family, oh God, and as a spiritual family? Draw us together. Draw us together, oh God, and put us in position for what you want us to do in 2016. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God give you revelation in these next 21 days. May your ears be wide open to hear the voice of God. May God give you miracles. May God open doors that no man can shut. May God give you household salvation. May the hand of God be on your life. May the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ break every yoke of bondage and break every assignment that darkness has against you and your house. May the Spirit of God be poured out without measure on you, your children, and your children's children. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now come on, somebody, give God praise in this house. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless the Lord. All right. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 6:30. I love you. God bless you.